It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Yeah, Dan and Dalton and Paul Feinbaum, a new football season is here. And Paul, Dalton and I staring each other down and staring at the phone where you are and basically don't even know where to start. We have so much to talk about. The new 16-team SEC is a place to start. Nick Saban is no longer a head coach of anybody, although what role is he playing at Alabama? Anyway, that's part of what we want to talk about this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, I think the best place to start is that Alabama has a new coach. I still can't remember what his name is, but I know it's not Nick Saban, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, so what are things going to look like? I mean, I know a lot of Alabama fans that call into your show feel like they have a pretty good feeling of how this season is going to look, but really, I mean, the wild card of all wild cards, Saban out. Folks seem to love DeBoer, but they have a tough schedule just like everyone else in the SEC. What is a successful season for DeBoer in Alabama this year?
I mean, I think it's making the playoffs, which is so different this year with 12 teams. I think without that, it's a bust. And I know that sounds harsh, but we're talking Alabama. And what's interesting is even though Saban has left, Alabama fans have not changed their approach. I mean, they still think they own the world. I made the mistake the other day on ESPN of saying that the dynasty in Alabama is over, and you would have thought I'd come in and stolen Nick Saban's favorite oatmeal cookie. I mean, they haven't won a national championship since 2020. That was the COVID year. Three championships have been awarded since then, but Alabama fans never let go. And by the way, I'm not acting surprised. I've covered the team since the last 2 years of Bryant. But this is going to be an adjustment. I think they have a really good team, but I've also watched a lot of transitions before, as you guys have, and they don't often go very well.
Yeah, that is certainly the case. And what will they look like offensively, defensively? Now, of course, with Kiffin coming over to Saban's staff, we saw them really open up the offense into more of a spread concepts and have seen that since. But Saban's not in charge of the defense now either. A man that we know well down here is Kane Womack. Will they look drastically different as far as the concepts and the way they align their defense and offense this year?
I don't think they'll look dramatically different, but primarily because the quarterback is the same. I mean, you can't turn Jalen Milroe into something that he's not. What exactly is he? He's got great legs. He's a very effective passer down the field. He's not particularly great in short situations, which is really what college football is at the moment. So, I mean, you have to be a little concerned. He's lost Isaiah Bonds, who there wouldn't have been a playoff without him last year. Some key defensive pieces are gone. I think defense is really my biggest concern because they're just Caleb Downs going to Ohio State was a body blow. I mean, that literally could be the difference between the playoffs and not because of his. Because he was filling in for so many other guys that went to the NFL. So, I mean, there's serious concerns on that side of the ball. Offensively, I think they're in good shape.
We're talking with Paul Feinbaum for the first Football Fridays of this 2024 season, presented by Bryant Bank. Let's go to the team that desperately every year wants to beat the hell out of Alabama, among others, but Auburn. And I really enjoyed your conversation with Hugh Freeze just a couple weeks ago and kind of drilling down on him about what happened in the Iron Bowl last year. But I think it's notable, you know, they've been doing so well in recruiting, but Freeze still asking the fans for a little bit of leeway. He said, give us a couple more years. We're building these recruiting classes, but could we start to see Auburn, continue to bloom this year?
I think so, but I think people are looking at the wrong. I mean, every time you have a conversation about Auburn, people say the same thing. Well, look what happened last year. They almost beat Georgia and they almost beat Alabama. Well, both games were at home. And they didn't win either game. So I don't think that matters a lot. This everything is a reset. Peyton Thorne is still the quarterback. I can't tell you I'm overly excited by him. Cam Coleman is a receiver that you guys know well, and I think that is probably where the most excitement lies. But there's still a lot of pieces, and Hugh Freeze can try that act for as long as he can get away with it. But at Auburn, you can't get away with that for long. They need a bounce back, And, you know, what is that? Is it eight wins? Probably that would be considered acceptable. And then let's get serious the year afterwards.
I think the first big test for Auburn, Paul, is Oklahoma at home, right? That's Oklahoma's first SEC game. SEC game is at Auburn, and Auburn can be a tough place to play. So if they were to beat Oklahoma, pretty nice feather in the cap, and would keep people at bay at least through midseason. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a game they probably have to win. Oklahoma, I believe, will play Tennessee the week before, so we will know whether they're formidable or not. And the schedule is almost the same for everyone. If you have Vanderbilt on your schedule, you catch a break. If you have Georgia on the schedule, you didn't. So Auburn, of course, has Georgia. So I just think the games that worry me for Auburn are just those tweener games. That, you know, you hear analysts call them the 50-50 games where you just don't really know. And Auburn's made a habit of losing those games in recent years.
What about this 16-team SEC? Of course, big changes across the entire landscape. It seems like every other morning Dan says, "Did you know so-and-so is in this conference now?" And I'm like, "What? Really?" But Texas and Oklahoma join. How big of an impact is that financially for the SEC? That's some big money coming from those two universities.
Yeah, it is. Really, everything is new this year. Not only do you have Texas and Oklahoma, you have this new ESPN deal where everything is on ESPN or ABC, which, you know, since I work there, I know this better than you guys. They're owned by the same people, Disney. You're not going to have that 2:30 CBS game with 97-year-old Gary Danielson anymore. It's going to be a little more exciting. So there is a lot more money. It's significantly more. But everything about college athletics involves more money now.
Yeah, including giving the money to the players. I mean, what are we in year three or four now of NIL, Paul? And in your view, who has adapted to it better, more quickly? You know, I would assume it's the biggest programs.
It is. Most of them have. I mean, there's only a handful that have been reluctant. Probably Dabo Sweeney at Clemson has been the one who's still living in the prehistoric time. Mm-hmm. But I can assure you Auburn has adjusted. Alabama has adjusted. And it sounds crazy to be paying players hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. I mean, by the way, Carson Beck, the quarterback at Georgia, decided to come back for another year. By the way, he wasn't going that high in the draft anyway, but he was able to get a Lamborghini. I mean, every time I've ever looked for a car, I've never said to my wife, "Hey, why don't we drive by the Lamborghini dealership?"
Yeah, and I don't even know where the closest one is, honestly.
Atlanta, probably.
Speaking of which, this week it was announced Alabama is giving this extension and raise to their general manager, Courtney Morgan, and that's just not something you've heard a lot about in college ball, really college athletics at all. Are GMs the new thing here, dealing with the transfer portal and all this NIL money? How important will they be to these big programs?
They are important, and I think primarily because they take the coach out of the chain of command, where allegedly the coach doesn't have to deal with the payroll. That's what the GM does. So, I mean, he's making almost $1 million a year, which I know a lot of people are saying that's shocking. But in college athletics, I mean, the kickers are making $1 million a year, so I'm not that impressed.
Nick Saban is right down the hallway from Kalen DeBoer. I think. I don't know the layout of the offices at the stadium, but he's allegedly still on campus. At the same time, he would be working as an analyst at ESPN. Any conflict of interest there? And getting back to him being on campus, is that good for DeBoer, or is that added pressure on DeBoer?
Yeah, the way I hear it, so the university football offices are across the street from the Coliseum. Saban apparently is in the stadium, which is down the street. I have no evidence whether Nick Saban has ever been in that office. Nor do I think he'll spend much time there. That is a scam, if I could be so bold with my friends here, so they can pay him about $500,000 a year just to do whatever he is supposed to do, which means absolutely nothing. I interviewed a reporter the other day on the campus paper that said, "Oh, well, he's still part of the program." And I said, "What specifically will he be doing?" And she said, "Well, he'll just be there." Well, no, he. I don't think he will. Guy, I've never known a coach, it doesn't matter who the coach, who the former coach is, that really wants the old guy around. And I think that that's applicable here. Yeah, Saban can help a little bit in terms of personnel. But by now, I mean, we're knocking on the door of September. DeBoer's been there since January. He probably doesn't need Nick Saban's counsel on any player. He knows them all by now, and Saban essentially is going to travel with ESPN every week on game day, and I think that's as close as he will come to the Alabama football program.
Yeah, it will be exciting getting some of his insight this year. Him on the college ball side and then Brady on the NFL side, manning one of those booths on Sundays.
Yep.
Just a couple of legends breaking down how things are going. Also, Paul, I wanted to ask you, I think one of your favorite things to discuss, and that is the enforcement arm of the NCAA, and the NCAA just gets weaker and weaker, either by congressional decree or the goings on of college football. They're still passing punishments out there. Well, one of the latest to Harbaugh is the NCAA enforcement arm. Does it even really matter anymore? How weak are they now?
They don't really matter. And they don't matter because if they decide to come down on somebody, all you need to do is go to court and you will win. Tennessee tried that a couple of months ago and really completely got the NCAA out of the way. The reason why the Harbaugh thing is important is because they're punishing him, but it doesn't really matter since he's in the NFL now. And there's literally nothing they can do. So that's as far as it goes. This is not the old days when you heard the NCAA was on your campus. And it was like a plague. It really just doesn't matter anymore.
Paul, as we get ready for the season, I know they're just going completely mad over in Ireland for Georgia Tech against Florida State for tomorrow. I understand that drinking is upticked in that lovely little nation. They're just crazy about college football there. But we are for real here in the South and in Alabama. And so in a thumbnail, how do you see the season playing out?
By the way, I didn't think people did anything in Dublin other than drink. So I'm really glad to know that game is going to be played. I think as we turn toward the season, the biggest story will be the playoffs. Suddenly, you can lose a couple of games and make the playoffs. Where look at Georgia last year; they lost the SEC championship game. They got knocked out. This year, that wouldn't make any difference. The only thing that matters, 10-2 is the number that you probably have to make it. Could you make it at 9-3? Depends. If you're in the SEC and you win a big game late, that would probably be enough. But so it's not life or death. But really, as we turn toward the end of the season, it will be about home field advantage, first round buys. It's essentially the NFL.
Yeah, and then a chance at the end of the year for a school like Tulane or Liberty or Coastal Carolina to maybe pull a massive upset and get close to that championship. It'll be a fascinating season, and looking forward to talking with you all along the way. Paul, thank you so much for joining us, and looking forward to next week where we start to break down these Week 1 games.
Guys, I can't wait. Thanks for the invitation, and I'll see you then.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings, and it's all brought to you by Bryant Bank.
That's right. Every Friday, check it out, Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum. We will load this to the podcast page. If you missed any of it or want to re-listen, you'll be able to hear it there. Coming up next, more Mobile Mornings. Turning up your voice, 251-343-0106. Join us.
These days, it seems like there's a new bank on every corner in town. But do you know what sets a community bank apart? I'm Michael Holland, Mobile President for Bryant Bank, and I'm proud to say Bryant Bank is an Alabama-based community bank you can trust. Our community bankers know you by name, not by account number. Bryant bankers know that your small business isn't one size fits all. So we listen, understand, and recommend services to fit your unique financial goals. The communities we serve are more than markets. They're our hometowns. With a local focus, Bryant Bank is committed to reinvesting in our neighborhoods, supporting small businesses, and community projects that bring us all together. Unlike the big banks, you won't find a call center at Bryant Bank when you need help. Instead, you'll be connected to a Bryant banker who can assist you directly. Give us a call or stop by a Bryant Bank near you at one of our offices in Mobile, Daphne, Foley, or Orange Beach. Bryant Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good morning, I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. Mobile police say a man was shot yesterday on Bank Avenue in the Trinity Gardens community and was taken to a hospital in a private vehicle. Police say he has life-threatening injuries. The shooting happened around 3:30 p.m. So far, no arrests have been made. The City of Pritchard Public Services Department is asking the citizens for patience as it deals with garbage collection delays caused by mechanical issues with garbage trucks. Routes are currently one day behind. Public Works hopes to be back on schedule within the next 2 weeks. Applications for Veterans of the Year in the City of Fairhope are now open and being accepted. Nominees must have been a member of one of the five armed forces and must live and work in Fairhope. You can find applications at any city building or by visiting the City of Fairhope website. I'm Shimani Baker with WKRG News 5. Local coverage you can count on.
This tip for the outdoorsman is brought to you by SunSouth, your source for quality John Deere equipment with 21 locations, including Tanner Williams Road in Mobile and Highway 59 in Foley. SunSouth, equipment for those that do.
Most saltwater anglers probably already know that flounder numbers haven't been good around these waters for the past few years, but that might be changing. Larval flounder are sensitive to water temperatures. If an estuary gets too warm, too fast, most young flounder grow up to be male. Male flounder spend most of their lives around reefs with nearby flat surfaces in waters about 30 to 60 feet deep. About 75% of the flounder that recreational anglers catch in the bays and the estuaries are female. Now, since few people fish for flounder in deep waters offshore, fishing pressure disproportionately affects the females. Now, to boost the local flounder population, the state of Alabama began a spawning program at a hatchery in Gulf Shores. Fortunately, anglers reported an uptick in flounder catches in 2019 after the state upped the minimum size limit from 12 to 14 inches and reduced the daily limit from 10 to 5 per person. This is John Felsher with your Outdoors Tip, brought to you by FM Talk 106.5.
Have you been dreaming of equipment to help you tackle projects faster and more efficiently? Now at SunSouth, when you purchase any John Deere tractor, you get a free farmer's tan. Plus, take advantage of 0% financing for 72 months on select John Deere 1, 3, and 4 Series tractors. So you save time and money. Plus, you get a free farmer's tan. For quality John Deere equipment, visit SunSouth. Equipment for those that do. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Expires August 31st, 2024.
If you're talking about it,
they're not doing anything.
There should be a law against that.
We're talking about it.
While unemployment has dropped, so have wages.
It's Talk Southern Style on FM Talk 106.5.
FredlandPelkTire.com traffic center delays continue with two accidents, I-10 westbound at the 7-mile marker. Also, have got accidents at Government and Little Flower, Rangeline and Rangeline Service Road, Three Notch and Travis Road, and had one northbound 65 between Airport and Dolphin. It's off to the shoulder as you still see heavier traffic there. Count on Pelk Tire, your locally owned and operated tire and service pros to take care of your vehicle. Oil changes, brakes, batteries, tires, and much more. Locally owned and operated, see them at PelkTire.com. And I'm Kane with their FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825, Mobile Morning. So they want to make sure we get Kamala's name right.
That's correct.
But then they don't get her name right. Or they've got a variety of ways they say it, but they're mad at anybody else who gets it wrong.
Right. Of course, you've probably heard people say Kamala's name at least three different ways. I think Kamala. And yesterday, the Democrats, in the last night of the DNC, with actress Kerry Washington, wanted to make sure that people knew exactly how to say Kamala's name, even though on the teleprompters they had spelled it out phonetically just to make sure every speaker got it right. Kama, yep. Dash law. Here's Kerry Washington before.
Just getting it right. Just getting everybody straight, right?
Come to my attention that there are some folks who struggle or pretend to struggle with the proper pronunciation of our future president's name. So, hear me out. Confusion is understandable. Disrespect is not. So tonight, we are going to help everyone get it right. Here to help me are some very special guests.
So she brings out Kamala's nieces, and they say, it's easy. It's comma and then la. And they get the crowd, like you're at a football game, this side comma, this side la. They get the chant going.
Good.
If you say it any other way, you're racist or possibly worse, according to the Democrats. Well,
being disrespectful.
Well, remember Nancy Mace, just last week, I think, the CNN panel went after her for mispronouncing the name. They were saying all kinds of hateful things about her. Anyway, back to last night, Al Sharpton, who I think was on stage before this great description, but I think he's gone after people for pronouncing the name incorrectly, too. Here's just a shortcut from Al Sharpton last night.
Kamala Harris! Kamala Harris!
So
that's not the way you pronounce
it. See, he's confused. Everyone else is being made. Being disrespectful, according to Kerry Washington's rules. So I thought that was a pretty funny moment last night. Telling everyone, this is how you say it. Don't get it wrong. And you have Al Sharpton getting it wrong at the exact same time. But a lot of shouting from Kamala Harris last night. Some people said, hey, she stuck to the prompter. She did a good job. But not a whole lot of policy talk coming from Kamala Harris as she accepted the nomination last night. She talked about, abortions. She's going to bring the right back to women, sign a bill into law that gives women the right over their bodies once again, because mean Republican men want to take everything away from the women. She said she'll sign she'll get equal voting rights to everyone. Kind of the same old story, but there wasn't any talk of really economic policies or anything of that nature. She went after Trump a whole lot last night. As people are saying, Trump needs to tone down his attacks on Harris and the Democrat Party. They're going after him with Bill Clinton, the Obamas, Kamala, pretty much everyone.
Much of the media.
Here's a part of Kamala last night talking about the Russia-Ukraine war and how she went to Ukraine to warn them ahead of time.
Before Russia attacked Ukraine, I met with President Zelensky to warn him about Russia's plan to invade. I helped mobilize a global response, over 50 countries, to defend against Putin's aggression.
If Kamala hadn't been there to warn Zelensky,
that'd have been over.
He would have been completely taken off guard.
He'd be dead.
She also talked about, she's like, you need to quit talking about how bad things are.
Talking about how terrible everything is. Well, my mother had another lesson she used to teach. Never let anyone tell you who you are. You show them who you are.
And by the end of her speech, she was basically shouting at Trump, calling him an autocrat, and that he's in bed with Kim Jong-un and the Putins of the world. She also mentioned the border, by the way.
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border.
I think really overall the first three nights were better than last night. They kept promising this special guest. People were wondering if
nobody
it
came
was
out.
Beyonce or Taylor Swift. I guess Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican. If anything, he ended up being
the guy whose cousins won't talk to him.
That's right.
8:30, William Carroll on the way.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. We are heading down the home stretch for the election. The Democratic National Convention wrapped up last night with Kamala Harris, now the party's 2024 presidential nominee. As the Democrats partied, former President Trump visited the border that he had once pretty much secured. Mr. Trump blasting the Biden-Harris team for halting construction of the wall, promoting a surge of illegal aliens and deadly drugs into the U.S. Speculation that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could drop his independent presidential bid today and endorse Donald Trump. Canada's two big freight railroads say they'll work to get the trains running again now that the government has ordered binding arbitration in a labor dispute that triggered a strike. Security tightened at a NATO airbase in western Germany, intelligence pointing to a potential threat. On Wall Street, stocks opening higher this morning. More details, srnnews.com.
Hear that? The sound of adorable little birds in your garden. And if you were here, you'd taste the too sweet but tiny tomatoes you grew all by yourself. But you're not here. Because your self-care happens when you're riding your motorcycle, protected by Progressive, on your way to the store for a pack of normal-sized tomatoes. So if you ride, switch to Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer, without getting your hands dirty. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states.
On August 30th, Reagan returns to office.
We are the greatest country in the world. We have just forgotten.
You can run from a bully for so long, but after a while, you're going to have to stand up to him. I am about to start the biggest war of this century.
You told me you wanted to make a difference in this world.
What would you have me do?
I want you to fight.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Reagan, in theaters Friday, August 30th.
This information update brought to you by CPC Office Technologies. All things copiers, all things service, CPC Office Technologies, cpctech.com. Phone 251-300-2695.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect sunny skies today with a slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. High temperatures will be in the lower 90s. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms and high temperatures in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Another quick tip from Gulf Coast Auto Tech.
Minimize fleet downtime with our two-appointment system, one for preliminary diagnosis, the second for the repair. We combine dealer-level expertise with the personal service of a locally owned business. Gulf Coast Auto Tech on Halls Mill Road.
Have the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood with help from Capital Tractor. Webb Bobo here with a special right now on all of our zero turns. Buy a mower, get a blower. Buy any Kubota mower on our lot and get an Echo handheld blower absolutely free. Short on cash? No problem. Get 0% APR financing for 60 months with approved credit. New mower, free blower, 0% interest. Now through September 30th, 2024, see Capital Tractor or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details. Capital Tractor, Mobile and Loosedale.
We're just days away from kickoff of the college football season. Sign up now for the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. Play for free for your chance to win by picking 10 games each week. The top picker at the end of the season wins the grand prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware. A Blackstone on-the-go outdoor griddle with five-piece griddle tool set. Roll in your cold drinks in a Yeti Roadie 48-quart cooler and carry everything else in your Yeti Camino 35 carrying bag. Details to sign up are online at fmtalk1065.com. Enter before the games begin Saturday, August 31st, and good luck.
From the PelkTire.com traffic center, delays continue with two accidents, I-10 westbound at the 7-mile marker. Also, have got accidents at Government and Little Flower, Rangeline and Rangeline Service Road, Three Notch and Travis Road, and had one northbound 65 between Airport and Dolphin. It's off to the shoulder as you still see heavier traffic there. Count on Pelk Tire, your locally owned and operated tire and service pros to take care of your vehicle. Oil changes, brakes, batteries, tires, and much more. Locally owned and operated, see them at PelkTire.com. And I'm Kane with their FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
.34 right now on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings on this High School Football Friday.
Yeah.
And now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive where we speak with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, it's a beautiful Friday, too. Y'all come on by and see us.
Yeah, it is.
Nice weather.
Yeah, it's nice. Hopefully nice tonight for the games and moving forward as well. Louis, what you got going on at McConnell this weekend?
I think it's Hummer Week. I don't know what's going on, man. We sold two Hummers yesterday, got two more in yesterday, too, and got one driving right now. Hopefully, we'll sell another one. I mean, everybody's like these EVs now, I guess. So, well, we got a few of them, so come on by and check those out. Got a great selection of pre-owns. You can check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got all different kind of brands and got some nice cars. We're going to be here all weekend. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend. So come on by and see us.
Yeah, and if someone has a particular vehicle on their mind, Louis, maybe they've been looking at it for a while and they need you to go get it, that's exactly what y'all do.
That's right. I'm sitting here right now looking at stuff down in Fort Lauderdale trying to buy a few cars for the used car side. So we just buy them just about anywhere. So like I said, you get some Highline. If you're looking for a Highline car, let me know. We got some great folks up in Nashville. They're doing a Highline store up there, and we kind of go back and forth, send them cars, they send us cars. So y'all check out the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and come on by and see us.
All right, appreciate it, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Raddick. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, good to have you along. Always good to have City Councilman William Carroll in studio. Good morning, William. Happy Friday.
Good morning and happy Friday, and even better yet, welcome to the weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, nice things happening. Cool weather this morning. Humidity extremely nice. I actually sat on the porch from 4:30 till about 8 o'clock.
These mornings have not been bad. I mean, eventually in the afternoon it's 95 all over again, but the mornings have kind of been nice.
Yeah, and of course, football, high school football. We had a couple games last night, a lot more on the way. Does that bring that same kind of feeling to you that it does to the rest of us here?
My God, yes, it does. I actually wore my 1988 MEAC championship ring day before yesterday, and I wore the 1991 the day of the funeral of the Civic Center. So, you know, it's nice to have your feet on the grass, that energy, that excitement, and to know that this time of year brings about that special thing in the South that we call football.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everyone loves the SEC portion of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it is amazing. And covering it on UTV 44, 25 years this year, be our 25th year, William. It's the moments before the game, or maybe an hour before the game, or on the field. The teams have come out to warm up for the first time. You get to talk to the coaches a little bit. Maybe they let you in on a little information. But the players are so ready to go, and it's the players in Mobile are ready to go from about 5 years old on.
Yeah.
These kids play in these park ball, correct?
Oh, God, park ball's a different story now.
I know, and they're identified, and people say, look out for number five. You're looking out for number five when he's 5 years old, and I'll be darned, when he's 17, that was the guy you should have been looking out for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then they work their way into college, and we've had some greats come from here, made it all the way to the NFL and Hall of Fame as well. So good stuff here. Let's talk about housing here, William. And I know that was a topic during this week's city council meeting. We're talking with Councilman William Carroll here. You've put together a plan here to help revitalize some of the communities, some of the homes in our area, in the
city. And in your district, right?
And in your district specifically. Tell us a little bit about your plan and how it came to fruition.
Well, you know, when I was on the council last time in 2006, we actually started a process to I would say revitalize areas, but it was more to start a land bank to where we could acquire the properties that were derelict and that over time start to replace those projects. From the land bank came a neighborhood sort of revitalization program or neighborhood preservation program, and over time it has grown. If you look at the success that we had in the Oakley area, as what it's turned out to, from Marine and Church Street, now it stretches all the way up into the Oakdale area, and you wouldn't recognize the Oakley area from how we started it back in the OVRF with Palmer Hamilton started in 99, and it just took off and started really growing after 2006.
Where exactly now, Oakley? I'm familiar with Oakdale. Is where?
Oakdale is from
further south.
Further south.
Okay.
You could say the Baltimore area, Seneca Street,
okay.
From Virginia Street, south of Oakley. We would call it Oakdale.
Well,
and Maysville is just the other side of
Oakdale. Exactly. So I'm going to have lunch today with Bernice Russell. Do you know Bernice?
That's Oakdale.
So Ray Ray's mom.
Oh, yeah. Love her to death.
She's a great lady. So I will be on Marine Street. And one thing I've noticed, and we'll get back into what you want to say, and I know you've got a lot to say, but there seems to be some revitalization even from Callahan South on Marine Street itself. You're starting to see people have invested in it a little bit.
That's exactly right. And the essence of the program was to start in small pockets with affordable housing where people could actually afford to buy the houses that would incentivize developers to come in. See, it's hard for a developer or a home builder to come into an area where the resale value is so tough that they can't come in and make the margin that they're trying to. But with with a program that starts with affordable housing, attainable housing, and workforce housing, where it is incentivized to a certain point, to maybe 80% of AMI, to where you can get in and create block equity. Now you're taking a lot of risk out of the big-time developers and small-time builders.
Got it.
Which then encourages them to come in after the fact. You don't see the revolving fund or the OVRF building in the Oakley area anymore because there's so many independent developers in there. Mm. There's Porchlight, there's a CMC, there are, you know, people like me that are also in their building now because the opportunity for turnover is so great. And if you remember, Dan, your son now I think even lives in Oakley.
If
you remember what it looked like in 2002 when I actually built on the corner of Broad in Charleston.
You're still right there, right?
I'm still right there.
Yeah.
But every house behind us except for two were derelict and were falling down. So when you take that incentive in those programs and you reinvigorate the area, it makes it better. It took away the crime. It took away the prostitution. It took away the drug sales. It took away the fights. It took away the races on Broad Street. So neighborhood revitalization is a huge key. And it starts with that hope of home ownership. When you give a person a home, and I don't mean give, mm-hmm. when you give a person an opportunity to buy an affordable house or an affordable home and then give it to them to in a point to where they know they have to take care of it, but it is their own, then they put down roots. They register the vote. They get a driver's license that has an extended time period to where they're going to stay somewhere. They know they're going to be there. And it's not just like renting. Renting, you don't, sometimes a lease is a year, maybe two. You don't know where you're going to be a year or two after.
True.
People don't register the vote. They don't put down the roots they want. Their kids may be in a different school system a year later. So it's important to create, you know, a neighborhood where a person has a sense of belonging and a sense of being, and to establish those places where like-minded people are living together that can support each other.
Yeah.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, and then fill us in on some of these details. So you want to kind of take that kind of program. Would this be a much bigger deal here where you're getting all of the counselors potentially involved? And I know there was mention of putting together a 13-member board.
Yes, the 13-member board would be comprised of choices of seven council members, one from the mayor, three from the county commission, and two from the RDA. That's the current proposal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything is possible that, you know, we may come to some type of compromise on board size. There's concern from two council members that we're creating a quasi-government entity. But the IDB, the RDA, and all these other entities are quasi-governmental agencies that are doing the bidding of what the city needs to be done to benefit the city. And this is the same type of application in trying to benefit the city. Now, I've been asked, can the city do the same thing within the city? I mean, we've had 12 years and we haven't done anything. And then even more than that, we had the previous 8 years when I was in office the last time and we did not do anything. So we're looking at a 20-year period where the city itself did not invest or reinvest into low to moderate income neighborhoods or in neighborhoods that are actually disenfranchised. And when people ask us, is there a need? Yes. When people call us from Rollins Street and say, I've got kudzu growing up into my house from the lot next door that I can't get rid of, that's nobody's maintaining. When people call us and say, I've got five houses falling down here at Cuba in Congress that nobody's maintaining, that somebody needs to do something about, then there's a obligation for us to come in and to help revitalize these areas to, one, bring the people back, two, stop the crime, three, help revitalize our city. We talk about people leaving our city at a rate of 2,800 people a year. Right, we talk about them leaving, but they're leaving because they want to go out to West Mobile where they can find a home, an affordable home. You know, D.R. Horton's building homes out there that they can afford. But what if we're doing it right here in the heart of our city where we have spot fragments of lots and things like that that we can build on, or scattered sites within neighborhoods that have been disenfranchised that can be re-enfranchised and revitalized where people actually want to live. Let's talk about the people that left Roger Williams, Orange Grove, A.F. Owens, R.V. Taylor, and all of these places that actually want to live downtown but have no place to go. And nobody's incentivized them or given them an opportunity to have somewhere to go that's a single-family home that's affordable for them to buy.
Now, how would you we've looked this over. Dalton and I have been talking about this, reading up on it. Your plan is one plan. How does the city's plan differ from yours, or how different is it, and what's going on with that?
You know, well, I would say this. After 12 years and after reading my plan, I believe that in talking to both the chief of staff, the mayor and others, I believe that they actually believe the plan can work. They actually like the plan. I mean, they've even made the statement that, hey, it works. And now it's, well, why can't we do it within the city? You know, and that's the question. Why can't we make it work within the city? But, you know, I have had reservations of doing things like this within the city because of time turnover. You know, we have CIP projects right now that we have...
Explain what that is, CIP.
Capital improvement projects.
Right. For each district,
Each district that have been in the hopper now for 2+ years, some 3, where, you know, we haven't been able to get to them because of the rate in which we turn over and process projects through our system. You know, and sometimes that can be an encumbrance to neighborhood revitalization when you have people at know how to get projects designed through the bid and award process and then under contract and out to a builder and have a builder build it within 6 to 9 months. So as opposed to looking at a 2 to 3 year project, we're looking at a project that may only take us after we have land acquisition and title clearing, maybe 9 months. And if we're turning over 3 or 4 a year and creating block equity, now we're creating interest for others to come in and do the project. Mm. It's a matter of time, and a matter of resource, and a matter of dedication, and having a person or a group of people dedicated to doing this every day, all day long.
That's all they do.
That's all they do. And right now, that department has everything in the world that they're working on. They have HUD projects. They have a deck of projects. They have other capital projects. You know, it's so much going on in that project, in that department. How much are we actually going to get done when it comes to revitalization and making neighborhoods grow?
And we're talking with District 2 Councilman William Carroll this morning about housing in Mobile. And as far as the funding for the program, you've spent some time kind of piecing together here. You've talked about how long you've been thinking about this. You put $2 million of your own. I guess you could call this, would it be fair to say seed money kind of here? $2 million from the CIP fund that you said from your district would initially go into this. How would funding for this work?
Well, what would happen is over the last, from 2020, when I first came into office, the first thing in my mind was, hey, we have to get this program going again, and we have to bring it to a full realization of its true potential. And one of the pieces that was left out was affordable housing, because if you remember, I left office in 2012, and we didn't finish the mission of setting up the whole program. So the way it works is that each council person would actually have a funding agreement, which would laser down and direct a certain portion of his or her district. It would actually give you the scope, the area, the boundaries of the area, how much money was to be spent, what type of housing we were looking for, the percent AMI and target that we're looking for, and then you would go in, and then you would choose your lot by property acquisition or however it happens. The titles need to be cleared, and then your home would be developed or would be designed, and then they would build it. That's how it actually works. But the funding comes from that CIP that we get every year. Each council member gets $4 million a year. For the last 12 years, they've been getting, I think, about $3 million, a little bit better, and it's grown. So, but if you take just $1 million of that $4 million every year and allocate it towards a neighborhood that's been disenfranchised, then you can start to create enough equity over 3 to 4 years to where you have other people coming in and insisting now, instead of the city being the perpetual catalyst to make it grow. Mm. And that's the way the project works.
And the funding that was brought up by the city for their plan, $1 million, is that what they said? And would that be kind of spread out? Am I reading that right?
Well, that's the way I read it and I heard it. Jim Barber mentioned, the chief of staff mentioned, $1 million. And $1 million over 7 districts is $142,000 or $143,000.
Drop in the bucket.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket.
I mean, as opposed to your plan, right?
That's right. You can't do anything with that independently in one with scattered districts, as I say. Mm-hmm. In one district, you might make a difference. But then who's to choose the project? Who's to choose where that money's going to be spent? And that's where the adage that I say, the politics comes into play. Because there may be five council members that want the same thing. So if there's five council people that want the same thing out of that $1 million, then what happens? You're not creating the equity that we need, you know, and you're not creating that response to the equity that we need when we need to be able to develop enough area for people like Porch Light to come in, or people like the HBA and members of the home builders to come in. So it kind of hurts us just to do a little splash in the pan. Now, I was told the other day that, well, why don't you come in and assist us with the CIP? But if I'm going to do that, then you're creating the same plan that I already have in place. You know, so in my mind, it almost feels like, okay, well, it's about control. You know, so if it's about control, then we need to have safeties in place within the city that make sure that we're going to meet our goals and obligations and the timing, so that we're not sitting back and we're only doing one house every 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we need a system in place to make sure that we're going to be meeting our goals as far as development and neighborhood revitalization, so we can actually, as I say, help the people where they are.
Wait, we're almost out of time, and I know you wanted to come back another time because there's a lot here, but we'll figure that out quickly. Where are other council members with this? They don't have the same needs that you do in your district necessarily.
Well, you know that, you know, Ben Reynolds made a big to-do about this. But, you know, I want to say this right now so people understand this. There are certain parts of our city that we're not realizing that are also declining, that are in other districts that in the near future may need this. Mm-hmm. And one area is Navco along Dog River, back behind Navco Road back there. If you ever get a chance to ride back there and look around,
I have.
You know, you're going to realize that there's some houses that are still great, but there's some that are declining real fast.
Right.
They're home. There are houseboats that are in the water that are stuck. There's debris everywhere. Lots of things are happening there, and it won't be long before a program is needed like this in those areas that are not in District 1, 2, 3, or 7.
Yep.
So at some point, everybody's going to need a program like this to help revitalize their areas. Now, District 6, that's another story. You know, that's the newest part of our city, and it doesn't need as much, but I'm pretty sure there's scattered sites out there that could use someone or would love to live out there in an affordable house amongst the other. You know, neighborhoods are made up of rich, poor, independent, middle class people that go from, you know, from zero to $1 million. That's what truly makes a neighborhood. Neighborhoods that have people that all are above $1 million, sometimes you don't even see the kids running around, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But a neighborhood that is mixed creates a genuine feel of hope for everybody.
We've got out of time today, William. We appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
I think we learned a lot more than before we walked through the door.
No doubt, and need to discuss this further. I'd also love to talk Civic Center Theater with you down the line. By the way, how was that celebration of life the other day?
Well, like I said when I was there, I mean, I've never, ever had the opportunity to wake a building. You know? I've never buried a building in my life, but I think we had about maybe 100, 200 people show up. And to be honest, I grew up in the shadow of the Civic Center itself. I remember the Georgia Jar Jacker, Austin Idol, and the figure four leg lock, the big trucks. You know, I've seen a lot at that theater. Concerts. My daughter performed for Carol Graham, and I understand Carol Graham had one of the first recitals there and the last, which I had an opportunity to see. So, I could tell you lots about the Civic Center.
Good stuff. Thank you, Councilman District 2 William Carroll, joining us. And Mobile Mornings will wrap it up right after this.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect sunny skies today with a slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. High temperatures will be in the lower 90s. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms and high temperatures in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
High five! Up top! Heck yeah.
Dave's company just got the first ever 5-year price lock guarantee from Comcast Business.
Yeah, 5 years.
It's 5 years of gig speed internet.
High five for gig speed.
5 years of advanced security.
Security win.
And 5 years of a great rate that won't change.
Our rate ain't changing.
All from the company with 99.9% network reliability.
There it is.
He hasn't given this many high fives since Deborah brought in her famous banana bread. Now he's got savings.
I'm so excited.
Yep, Dave's feeling it. But it's only for a limited time, so don't wait. Switch today and ask how to get the first ever 5-year price lock guarantee from Comcast Business. Powering 5 years of savings. Powering possibilities. Comcast Business.
And it's hurting, but I am not stopping.
Ends 9/22/24. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge for new customers on qualifying internet bundle, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Scott Armstrong with Kimco Metal Buildings. If you want a sustainable and cost-effective solution for your building needs, we've got you covered. Kimco has been designing and constructing commercial-quality steel buildings since 1965. We will meet or exceed high wind load structural requirements and help with the building process from planning to completion. We're located in Daphne. Check out our website at kimcobuildings.com or call us at 626-0594. That's KEM.
BrendanPelkTire.com traffic center delays continue with 2 accidents, I-10 westbound at the 7-mile marker. Also, have got accidents at Government and Little Flower, Rangeline and Rangeline Service Road, 3 Notch and Travis Road, and had one northbound 65 between Airport and Dolphin. It's off to the shoulder as you still see heavier traffic there. Count on Pelk Tire, your locally owned and operated tire and service pros to take care of your vehicle. Oil changes, brakes, batteries, tires, and much more. Locally owned and operated, see them at PelkTire.com. And I'm Kane with their FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Mobile International Airport, y'all. Yes, indeed. Flying down to Orlando, nonstop. Nonstop flight right where you're going to the theme parks and all. Yep, with Breeze Airways. It is happening right now. Mobile International Airport, the one just off of downtown. Nice, new, nonstop Breeze Airways. And also, get online at flybreeze.com. Here's what you're going to find out. Very convenient, but also, it'd be better than that, low fares, too. And the Airbus A220, no problem with that. It's made right here in Mobile. So start your vacation the moment you take off with Breeze Airways. Book your nonstop flight right now at flybreeze.com. That's FlyBreeze.com.
Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show, Friday style. And 4 guests coming up. He'll have Alabama Daily News' Todd Stacey. Also, the Democrat response. I guess it would be the second or third Democrat response on the Jeff Poor Show this week after he talked with Siegelman and Shamari Figures on Tuesday. More on Shamari later, but he'll have former Congressman Parker Griffith on in hour number two. Hour number three kicks off with the Republican nominee for AL2, Caroline Dobson, and then State Senator Chris Elliott. The big news for Figures last night was he got a role on the DNC stage.
But a smaller role than we thought.
Yeah, I didn't know what kind of speaking time they'd give him. They actually, I don't think the main networks carried it. You had it, and we had it ready to play this morning, kind of ran out of time, but about 2 minutes and something.
19.
Two minutes, 19 seconds. Tucked him right after Steph Curry's endorsement of Kamala Harris.
And then they went to commercial break. And Figures.
I had to go back to the main feed to watch it. So I'm not sure that will have the impact that I thought it might have with that national stage. But Caroline Dobson, who just opened her RNC headquarters in Mobile, she'll be on with Jeff just after 11 o'clock. Also, Councilman Ben Reynolds on Midday Mobile with Sean today.